Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, along with my co-host, Donnie Hoover. I don't know which way I'm pointing, but he's over there someplace. Donnie, what's up?
Oh, not much. You're still in my gimmick now. I'm the one that don't know how to point the right way.
That's why I did it. You know, Donnie and I have been talking, you know, Wrestle Horror. You know, we've talked about it for over a year now, combining both elements of wrestling and horror. And Donnie reached out to a wrestler that has even been in a horror film. So it's a combination of the both. I am excited to introduce to you the Voodoo King, Mojo McQueen. Mojo, how is it going tonight?
Well, you know something? Tonight is fantastic. I got to chit-chat with you guys a little bit before the show, so I'm feeling really good right now. And I see that you got some good things in the background that I would like to have in my home. So I'm willing, if you're willing, I'm willing to make a trade.
Okay.
I won't put a curse on you if you give me that Darth Vader helmet.
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I might have to take the curse on that one. How about if I trade the backup helmet?
The backup helmet? Let me see the backup helmet.
No, it's not here. It's downstairs.
We can talk about that.
It would probably fit you better than this one will. Trust me.
I don't need to wear it. It'll be for display.
I've worn it a couple of times. I've played Darth Vader. But, yeah, you can't have my Star Wars stuff, no. Curse me! So, wrestling, horror, Mojo, I mean, I love the gimmick, I love the character. You know, Donnie talks highly about you. Let's start out with the basic question. What got you interested in pro wrestling?
One random night as a little kid, I saw Macho Man. And once I saw Macho Man, it did it for me. I mean, Macho Man, as a little kid, you're seeing the colors and then the voice and just, you know, you're just like, oh, man, who is this dude? This guy's cool. And ever since then, I was just like, Mom, I need to know when this wrestling comes on. I need to see it again. And I was addicted. Like, it got so bad that when I would go to my grandmother's house as a little kid, she had cable. So I would sit there and watch Lucha Libre until WCW Saturday Night would come on. So I'm sitting there for hours watching, because Lucha Libre shows were like 3 hours on television. And I would sit there, my grandmother would come back there. What you watching? I'm watching wrestling. And then she'll start walking away. Then she'd hear the announcers talking in Spanish. She'd come back. What? You watching this in Spanish? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, boy. And she'll keep on walking. So I was addicted. Addicted to anything wrestling. Anything I could find, I was watching it.
A lot of people might not know that, speaking of Lucha Libre, but that's what you trained in. You're a Lucha Libre specialist in your wrestling, but your character is probably one of the furthest things away from a normal Mexican Lucha Libre style.
Yeah, I started off learning the American style, like our style, and then I had the opportunity to learn Lucha Libre, and I thought it was cool. You know, I thought it would be something that would let me stand out, because I'm a big dude. I'm 6'3", 280 pounds, and to be able to move the way that the luchadors do, man, I think it enhances my style. You know, it gives me a lot of added opportunities, because since I could work the style, that allows me to be able to work with different guys in the ring. But, man, Lucha Libre is a lot of fun. A lot of rolling, a lot of learning how to base and catch people, which is great because you see a lot of guys want to do 50 million dives in the shows. So you got to know how to catch them so they don't kill themselves. And just being able to add just a little bit of flair to the whole bag of tricks.
Very nice.
Yeah, I was trained by a couple of really good Lucha guys. Sky Day is one. He trained a lot of the big name guys in terms of Lucha. And Discovery was another one of my Lucha Libre trainers. And he passed away this year. And I was happy that I was able to get to see him and tell him thank you one last time. So, yeah, definitely both of those guys helped me out a whole lot.
Very cool. Did they help you create the Voodoo King, or is that all yours?
That's all me. This is all me. when I first started wrestling, I was just your regular run-of-the-mill guy. I was the main event, Joshua Christian. That was what I wrestled as. I mean, I had these tights with the hot pink on them, and you know, had a star on the crotch with an M, and the M was supposed to be for the main event. But of course, me being me, I call it the Magnificent Mile. And yeah, you know, I was doing that, and I just felt like I wasn't really having fun with the character. So there was something big that happened to me that changed the wrestling company that I started with, that I did my training at. We kind of severed ties. And from there, I'm like, you know what? I want a fresh start. So I started trying to figure out, well, what can I do? So I started thinking of names. And I'm like, oh, you know, I wanted to use my shoot last name, but I couldn't think of anything that went well with my shoot last name. So I was like, okay, well, I kept looking. And then Mojo just pops up. I'm like, I don't know any wrestler's name, Mojo. And this was before Mojo Rawley.
Okay. Right.
No, don't bring his name up in here. I'll put a curse on. This was before Mojo Rawley. And I was like, all right, Mojo. First thing that pops up when you look up Mojo is all this voodoo stuff.
Right.
Now, me being a brother, we afraid of the voodoo and the black magic and all this stuff. So I didn't know much about it. So I was afraid to do it. I didn't want to let any demons or spirits into my house or none of that stuff. But it kept coming back to me. I'm like, man, I kind of want to do it, but I'm afraid. So I asked my pastor. I said, hey, what do you think if I did this character, blah, blah, blah. And he told me to do some research. He said, I think it'd be cool if you did it. This is coming from my pastor. Mm-hmm. But after that, I dove into it. I started researching, and I went to, we had an exhibit at the museum, the Field Museum here in Chicago, and I spent hours going through that thing, reading everything they had, taking pictures, and then I started reading books and watching movies. And of course, I seen The Serpent in the Rainbow. I know you guys seen that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great movie. scared the heck out of me. I actually wish they would make a remake of it. If they make a remake of it, I definitely would love to be in that movie. So let's put that into the universe.
There you go.
But I started doing all the research, and little by little, I started developing this character. And I actually started off wearing face paint.
Okay.
And, you know, stereotypical voodoo guy, got the skull face paint, and I ran with that for a little bit. Then I pivoted a little bit into wearing the mask, and it just didn't feel right at the time. So I continued with the face paint until one fateful day. I was rushed to the hospital. I died in the back of the ambulance, going to the hospital, because I had a real bad allergic reaction. My face wrinkled up like a daggone prune. It was crazy. My daughter was there. It was nuts. I'm going in and out of consciousness, and I swear I had to have died in the back of the ambulance.
Really? From the face paint or from?
A lot of stuff. So
the
face paint was eating away at my face, so I aged quite a bit.
Mm.
And I was really tired because I hadn't slept. So it was like I hadn't slept in like 2 days. I just had a lot of stuff going on. I was burning kind of on both ends. I was working my shoot job, working my shoot second job, you know, checking my daughter's homework because I'm a single parent. Right. So, mm-hmm. I'm just doing everything. But then I had the show come up, and I took, I drank two of those little energy shots, which I would never drink that stuff again.
Right, right.
So I drank one, and I was absent-minded, forgot all about it. I drank the second one.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going through my match, but I'm just not me. I don't have the energy. I'm kind of sluggish. I'm real methodical. After the match, I'm sitting there, and my face paint is half off my face, and I'm sitting in the back. I'm signing, and you know, come try to run to the bathroom because my face is itching. I'm signing autographs on the way. And I'm standing in front of the mirror, and my girlfriend at the time, she happens to pop by, and she's like, "Oh my God, look at your face!" I'm like, "What do you mean? Look at my face!" And now my mouth is over. So now I'm over here looking like Freddie by the face with all the wrinkles and all of that. And I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? So then I run back to the locker room, and now everybody's freaking out. A few people, they ran to the store to try to get Benadryl. Now I'm having trouble breathing. And yeah, it was bad. And I remember waking up at the hospital, They thought I had a stroke and a heart attack, which I didn't. Thank God I didn't. And the whole time I'm in the hospital for those 3 days where they're monitoring me because they was afraid that I had a heart attack, but I didn't. I'm thinking like, well, I don't want to do the face paint anymore. Maybe I should go to a mask. So I'm thinking about wrestling. I'm over here dying, but I'm thinking about wrestling. So So I messaged my guy that that was making my gear at the time, and I'm like, hey man, I'm in the hospital. This is what happened. Blah blah blah. I need a mask. I got a match next week. I don't want to wear a face paint. 3 days later, I had a brand new mask. This mask had no horns. It was just it was a design that I drew up. It was, the design was just like my face paint. And that's where the whole mask thing started. And we took that and ran with it.
And just keep transforming it, huh?
Yeah, this man, this, the evolution over the years. Maybe one day I'll post a picture of every version of me. But the evolution is that crazy. Because I went from no horns to having horns, and the horns started being transformed a little bit. And then when I started wearing these nice guys right here, oh my goodness. A world of difference, because the guy that actually makes these masks is from Ohio, and he's amazing. He's a horror guy. So I Make Monsters by Robert Sicardi. Amazing dude, and he sends you 1,000 pictures. So every little move he makes on your mask, you're going to know about it. And yeah, it's been a great experience wearing these masks. So get to do a lot more crazy stuff.
Yeah, he like does great work.
Like this one right here, I got the hands. And the thing was, I wanted to have it where the demon is pulling me back into the abyss. So that's what the hands are for.
Very cool. Yeah, so like you're just like with Haunting, when you develop a character, the character starts out fresh, like the first year. And as years go on, it's a good idea to, you know, start wear and tear on that character, you know, put a rip in the uniform here or a shirt, tear a sleeve off a shirt for the next season. And then that's kind of what you're doing. Your character's like evolving, it seems like, from, you know, time to time.
Yeah. I gotta keep it fresh. I gotta keep it looking good. You know, as always, there are other guys in the industry that are doing voodoo gimmicks. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that I'm better than them.
Right. Yep. Stand you one know. Step ahead. But speaking of, I want to get on my soapbox here again, Jim, for a second. Okay, one of the things that you do for yourself, and which thinks, you know, makes me think that you will stay ahead of all the other guys, is your character development and your branding. And like I said, I've never seen a wrestler in this area that does as much branding as well done as you have. I mean, I've seen some good ones, but I really appreciate what you do. You know, you're always making promos, even if it's not for a wrestling event, you're just making a promo just to make the thing, to put yourself out there. And even your Facebook page, you go to your Facebook page, your Facebook cover picture is a video of you, and it's fantastic. And this is one of the things that I preach about when I get on here is, you know, promoting your character, cutting promos, building your brand, you know, that's very important, and hardly anybody does it. And it's like, the more I get involved in trying to figure out a way to help people learn how to do that, the more it pisses me off that people don't do it. It's like, so when I see like Lufisto's website, we had her on a little while back. She's got a fantastic website. She's got a great brand, you know, she's doing it right. Same as you. And, but yeah, so just tell us a little bit about your thought process again behind brand development and building your brand and that kind of thing.
You know what? I watched, it was some documentary that I watched. It was a wrestling documentary, and a guy was on there and he was talking about how he started to get big, and it was from cutting promos. And I'm like, huh? So I take notes on everything I watch, and I'm like, well, let me try that. So I started to just film all these just crazy promos. This is like, even in the beginning, I would film these promos and, you know, I would try to talk a little bit, but then I'm like, why do I always have to talk? Like, every guy gets on there, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm like, well, why? You can do so much more with your body language, your just your look, just the background. So now, fast forward to now, I bought myself a green screen. I bought lights. I got a fog machine. And I got a brand new computer, and I pay for all of the programs so that way I can do all of my editing, all of the so everything that you see that I put out, that's all from me. Nice. And actually, my daughter she's the one that's filming everything. So I tell her, like, this is how I want you to shoot it. Shoot it like this, and she'll film everything for me. And then I'll drop it in the computer, and then I go into my laboratory, and I'll start doing the editing. But I think it's very important to keep everything fresh. So even from professional promos, professional promo pictures, I think every guy should have a professional photo. So when a promoter contacts you, it shouldn't be, oh man, I don't have any pictures. It should be like, hey, you know what? Which 100 of these pictures do you want to see? Because since I've came back to wrestling because of COVID, I've probably taken like three different photographers, great photographers actually. I've taken three sets of promo pictures. So I probably have at least like 60 pictures that I can send at any time if somebody wanted a picture, and they're all different poses. I think that's important. Also, another thing that I do with those pictures, if I don't edit them and add all of my jazzy stuff to it, I just like to post like one or two pictures a week. So that way I always pop up in the news feed. Because when I started doing that, more promoters were starting to see that. Mm-hmm. And they were starting to get shares and things like that. And they're like, oh, who is this guy? Because I have a unique look. So now it's putting my name out there. Now somebody's like, oh, who is this guy? Somebody from the area might know me and say, oh, that's Mojo, blah, blah, blah. So that's really helping with my branding. The promos, just doing the whole time during COVID, I was just shooting promos, just doing it just so I could stay relevant, so I could stay in people's minds. And also, too, I talked to a buddy of mine, and he was giving me a lot of advice. And I've been following his advice to a T. Everything that he's been telling me to do, I've been following it, and it's been really helping me. So Joaquin Wilde from WWE, he gave me a lot of advice. And everything that he tells me, I'm like, I'm going to listen, because he knows what he's talking about.
Soak it in, yep. Soak it in.
So I soak it in, because and the reason I know him is because of practicing and training in Lucha, because we used to train together in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So the advice that he's given me has definitely been beneficial. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, make these promos good, and I'm going to keep cranking them out. So, I mean, and it's hard, too, because during the week, I'm so busy, but I'm still like, it could be 10 o'clock at night, and I found like I got a little free time. Let me get in front of this green screen. I'll tell my daughter, hey, could you film this for me? Can you spray me with the water and all that?
I just want to talk crap for a couple seconds.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of times, because a new mask, my mouth is covered, and I don't have to say anything. So it's just like, I just got to kind of get my movements to be right and all of that stuff. And then I'll go back and I'll drop all the sound in later. But as long as I can just have like stock footage and I can just start piecing things together and making it look good, you know. But 99% of the time, I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm just standing up.
I'd say, and that's just kind of like another example of how wrestling and horror and haunted attractions mixed together is, you know, what you do, you know, you get a new mask or a new character or an upgrade. You start looking in a mirror, you start looking at, you know, filming yourself, you start coming up with different movements, mannerisms, that kind of thing. And that's the same thing that a haunt person does. As soon as they develop a new character, you know, they look in a mirror, they take video, they start, you know, how will this character act? How will he move? And that's exactly what you're doing. And your promos and your branding is actually how I found you in the first place. Because you worked for Big Tom out there in Warren, Lima, Ohio, and he's a good friend of mine. And he started playing your promos. And of course, I'm a big horror fan. And I saw your promos. I was like, oh shit. I was like, who's this dude? Yeah. So I started watching your stuff and I was like, man, I was like, this guy's doing it right. He's cutting promos. He's creepy. He's doing his gimmick. I was like, you know, he gets it. You know, his Facebook page is all about Mojo. I was like, you know, he ain't talking about Mojo cutting a promo and then taking a picture. Hey, I had biscuit and gravy for breakfast, you know.
I've been really I've noticed, like, just from telling people that I tell them, like, my actual Facebook page used to be my, because I started at Facebook right in the beginning. I'm old. So right when Facebook started, I was like one of the first people on Facebook. And I look at how my Facebook transitioned. So once I became Mojo, a lot of my personal life stuff, you don't even see it on Facebook. You might occasionally see something about my daughter
on there.
But other than that, it's all wrestling Mojo stuff. That's it. And then my fan page, obviously, is just all Mojo stuff. So I try to keep it like that. I think eventually I might do a personal page of mine, but I don't know. I think, you know, having that, you know, a lot of people know who I am as far as like my friends, so it'll never be that thing. I think everybody forgot what I look like, though.
Yeah. All right, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know,
he's a guy. He's got horns. Just
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, man, you know, this has been a lot of fun. And actually, when you talk about the haunts, me and my daughter love the haunted house.
Okay,
nice. This is the first year that we have not went to a haunted house, and it's killing us. Because, you know, we were kind of scared with COVID, and then I didn't know what was going on in Illinois. But every year we at least go to the haunted house for the Halloween season. We at least go to three. Mm-hmm. But then we also go to the haunted house during the Christmas season because you got the Krampus, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're going to be able to do it this year. So it sucks. And I like to look at the guys and see what the guys are doing. And obviously, they scare the hell out of me. they scare the hell out of me because some of the stuff that they do to scare, and I'm like, I'm going to use that. I'm
going to
take that.
All right.
I always find something cool. And actually, one of the guys, there was a guy that inspired that staff because I was saying I wanted a staff like that. And a guy made it for me, but I was telling him about this. It was like this lizard man. His costume was, his outfit was amazing. I mean, everything from the jacket to the mask with the paint under the, everything was just perfect. But what really caught me was his staff he had. And it was a big, tall staff, and he had all sorts of cool things on it. And it was legit. And I'm like, I need something like that. I need that. I think it would really enhance my gimmick. And luckily, a fan actually found some wood by a river. So this would be perfect for a staff. And then he went into his laboratory, and he kept sending me pictures like, hey, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh, my God, that's dope. And I'm with it.
All right, the box with the green mist. That seems to be, it's a crowd favorite, but it stinks like hell.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever came up. How did you come up with that? Was that did that come from just your mind or something you'd seen, or
you know what? So it was a mix, and don't judge me. Mm-hmm. So do you remember when Batista was Deacon Batista? Used to come out with the box. With the offering box.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never seen anybody else do that after he did it. So I was like, huh, maybe I could do something with this and make it be like a soul box. So I actually had the metal chains attached to the box, and I would carry the box out like that. But then I wanted something to be like really over the top. So there's a Puerto Rican wrestler named Voodoo Man. Me and Voodoo Man were actually cool. He gave me a lot of advice too. And I saw one of his videos where he came out with these skulls and he had all of this colorful smoke coming out. And I'm like, I need to do something like that. How do I do that? So, you know, I messaged him. I said, hey, how do you do that? He said, oh, smoke balls, brother. I'm like, are you serious? Instantly, I go over the board. I go to Indiana and I go to the fireworks store. And I buy all these smoke balls and I started testing them. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. So I started doing that with the box. But now I started to get away from it because my gimmick changed a little bit. So the box actually houses the voodoo doll of the opponent that I'm wrestling now.
Oh, so very cool.
So every match, so if I was wrestling you, it'll be a voodoo doll of exactly what you have on for that day. That's what the voodoo doll will look like. And I'll house them in the box. So, and with it being COVID, a lot of fans are wearing the masks and stuff like that. And I don't want to be that the douchey guy that comes out with the smoke and now you're choking in your mask.
Right.
Try to be considerate of our fans, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I loved it personally. And the smell just, I mean, you know, because trapped souls ain't supposed to smell good anyway. You know what I mean?
Watch Supernatural, though. If you watch Supernatural, you'll get the smell, too. Because in Supernatural, when you kill the demons, it smells like burnt sulfur.
Yep.
So that's what I'm going for.
But yeah, the box was very cool. I like the touch of that.
I'm going to add something else to have the smoke. I think I'm going to add some modifications to that little staff behind me. I'm going to have maybe something it'll shoot the green mist out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You see how he just did that, Jim? Not to change the subject, but he like pointed at that thing just perfectly. And here I am like a dumbass going like this. I don't know where nothing is. And he was just like, bam, bam. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's something about me.
I actually have eyes in the back of my head.
Somehow I believe that. Well, that's right. Wait, that's right. You're a dad, so you've got to have eyes in the back of your head.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see through walls. I can hear, you know, when I'm asleep, everything. So.
Back to the haunted houses. Have you ever acted in a haunted house?
Oh, no. I was asked to one time. And it just didn't line up with some of the stuff that I had going on. There was a haunted house, and it's like going to a Southern Illinois. Actually, in the same area where the guy gave me that staff right there.
So you did it again.
So they had a haunted. They bought a little building that was attached. It was a part of the property for the building that we were wrestling at. And they were asking, "Hey, would you like to do a haunted house? You know, we probably have a lot of people come there and want to see you." Like, man, well, what day do you want me to do it? Because it was just one Saturday. Of course, I was booked out of town, so I didn't do it. But I would love to do it and just really mess with people. I would have a ball doing it, to be honest with you.
It's a lot of fun, and your size really brings it out because, you know, you said you're, what, 6'3", about 280?
Uh-huh.
I'm 6'4", and I'm about 320.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I carry it well.
I'm like you're bigger than me.
I am.
You're not wrestling. You need to wrestle.
I'm a little bit old for that. Trust me.
Hey,
I want to, but at 55, I'm afraid of breaking something.
That's why you don't do all the flips and all of that. You beat people up.
All right. Old Stan Hansen style.
You know, I think you, given the right opportunity, even with just the mojo mask, you would scare the hell out of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the mojo mask, the eyes.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially definitely.
The new mask is even a lot creepier, too. Like, I look at it sometimes, I'm like, oh, I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and have that mask staring back at me.
But let me tell you, there is nothing like that first scare that you get. Donnie knows the feeling.
Oh yeah.
The first time you scare somebody, you get an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
And all you want to do is scare people the rest of the night.
Yep. And the size definitely helps for sure.
Yes.
You know, so this past weekend I was at a show in Iowa.
Okay.
And literally didn't do anything. I just was walking through the ring, shaking my staff. But I guess I was too scary for some little kids. And I scared the heck out of them, and the whole family left.
Wow. Nice.
Another time I was coming out to the ring, and this one I was working heel at one company. And I was coming out to the ring, and these kids, they saw me, and they took off running. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to have some fun. I chased the kids. Kids, they ran out of the building. Then they ran to the concession stand, and then they ran to the kitchen, and they were screaming, ah!
Nice.
Oh, it was great. I had a ball that day. It felt so good.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my old tag partners, we used to have a game we would play. So we would come out to the ring. We would try to count how many kids we could scare each.
Keep a tally?
Yes. Whoever had the most don't have to buy dinner.
Right. There you go.
You know, you would have worked really well. There's a haunted house I worked once down in Atlanta, Georgia, called Netherworld.
Hmm.
And it's one of the bigger ones out there. And I was down there doing some podcast work, and the owner asked me and my wife if we would like to act. And it's like, at one of the best haunts in the country? Let me think about that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they costumed us up, and we worked out in a queue line. And all we did was chase people. And usually it was kids between the age of 14 and 18. And, you know, the adrenaline's going so bad that at the time I was like 45 years old. And I'm chasing 16-year-olds and keeping up with them. You know, and my wife doing the same thing. Because you just want, you get this rush just from the people being scared of you. And the more they run, the more you want to chase them.
Next time you guys do that, you know, put my name down. I want to be able to do that.
There you go. Yeah, I remember we talked about that when I still had that trail down here in Columbus about you coming down and doing the trail and doing some wrestling shows for us and stuff, and then never got around to doing it.
Well, we got to do it in the future when the world heals itself.
Carnage.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Orleans Carnage.
Yeah. Yeah, the haunted house I'm working with now here in Columbus, they're going to have three different haunts in their building, and the first one is Louisiana theme. They got like the Louisiana cemetery, they got swamps and voodoo, they got a voodoo section, like everything. It would fit perfectly.
Oh, I need to be a part of that. I at least need to be able to rise up out of the swamp and then chase.
Well, they're going to have, they have an indoor pond. They'll have an actual section where it's like a pond with a big creature. And it's going to be really cool. Yeah.
Oh, you want to go to that?
She's like, nope.
No, my daughter's eyes got big. Like, yeah, we got to go to that.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, she loves the horror stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, we got to get him in on that, Donnie.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to talk to Jason and Mia. I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
Yeah, and they even got a place for you to sleep.
Right. Yep.
Do I get to sleep in the cemetery?
You could. Close. Yeah, they got like rooms and stuff in their building. It used to be an old bowling alley, so it's got like a bar, a concession area. They're going to have virtual reality room. They got like side rooms in the back where people can sleep if they're out of towners. And it's going to be a whole deal. It's
like, oh yeah. I need to be a part of that. Oh, I need to be a part of that. I'll have to order me a couple of more new masks for that.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool setup they got. And yeah, your character would fit in perfectly there.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's what I thought of when he mentioned that. It's like a carnage. Yeah. And as far as cemeteries go, I've got a cemetery right across the street from me.
Mm-mm. He's like, nope.
No, your place is haunted, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
I would never stay the night there, ever.
my house was built in 1926. And yeah, it's haunted.
Yeah. Nah, I would have to sleep with the lights on. I mean, yeah, I know I'm this big creepy voodoo man, but you know what? The spirits got powers. They like to mess with you while you sleep. I don't want them coming in my dreams, and then I wake up and they're staring at me in the face and all that. No.
Yeah, so you don't do no paranormal investigating, huh?
You know, I would. I would. I just want to, you know, as long as I don't bring nothing back home with me, man. You know, fine with that. My grandmother's place, one time I was at her place. I was in the basement getting some laundry out, and everything was fine. All of a sudden, the lights cut off and the door slams. And I'm like, what the hell? So I started to take off and run. A broom fell across the door and landed right on the doorknob like he was trying to keep me in. Scared the hell out of me.
Really?
I was like, you know what? No, I don't want that.
Very cool.
So, okay, Mojo not staying at the house. We'll check that off.
You know what? I probably would. I'd be okay. I ain't that afraid. I mean, I did say I want to sleep in. I want to go to sleep in a casket. I want to do that. And I will spend the night in a cemetery.
Oh, we've got to put him on the last ride. Have you ever heard of the last ride?
I've heard of the one from The Undertaker.
Well, this last ride, it's a casket, but it's a simulator. And what they do is they put you into this casket, and there's a little camera in there to watch your reactions. And they close the casket, and it pipes in sounds, smells, and things like that. And it moves, and what it does is it takes you from the funeral home to where you're being buried in the ground, and you've not moved one inch. Ugh. But it's all done through sound, smell, and vibrations. And it's so realistic, and you can watch people, because people outside are watching on a monitor because you've got a camera in the casket, and you're watching the reaction on people's faces, and they're funny because it feels like you're being buried in the ground. Is you even hear dirt falling on the top of it?
Ugh. Yeah, see, that'd be the first time. It's the first time I ever said this, but that'd be one time I'd have to pass.
I would do it depending on how big the casket is. There was no, I will admit, there was one time I was in a casket match and this casket creeped me out. And part of it probably was because it was super hot. So I felt like I was just enclosed in this small box. I couldn't move, I couldn't turn. I'm like, and it was so hot and I couldn't breathe. And that's what started having me freak out. The only time I've been in the casket that I freaked out. Other times I've been in plenty of caskets and I've never had that problem, but at one time. So depending on the size of the casket, I could turn over to my side and get comfortable, or, you know, get on my stomach. Oh, I'll be fine.
Well, they do have a double casket. I mean,
I would get in the double casket and I would definitely do that. I would have to see it all the way through. But my biggest fear is being buried alive. I don't know if you've seen that movie with Ryan Reynolds. And he was, that's one of my biggest fears, is being buried alive in the casket.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Well,
then being in that simulator is going to freak you out.
Well, I have to do it. It has to be done now. So this is going to have to be a challenge. We have to come back and revisit this, but definitely we're going to have to record it and everything. Make a big spectacle out of it.
We'll have to look for some of the haunted houses in the areas. We'll have one of those as an upcharge for, you know, a few bucks extra, because it's only a couple 5-minute experience.
That'd be enough for me. 5 minutes?
So what do I get if I can last the full 5 minutes?
You get let out of the casket.
No. We have to make a deal. We all have to do it. This has to be a challenge.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't even think I'd last the 5 minutes. I don't know.
Come on.
I've got video proof someplace where I did it.
Did you? I'd do it. I'd give it a shot.
Let's see. What will you get? Donnie will book you at one of his shows.
Well, I had that set up at the Arnold last year until COVID ruined it all.
Oh, man. You know, and it seemed like it was so long ago too, but I was all geeked about it. I was like, man, trying to get back in shape and all that. I'm like, y'all buff when I come out. Then COVID said, nah, bro.
Yeah, I was too. I got my whole new ring announcer gear put together, my attire. Got these bright red shoes that go with my black coat, my red shirt, and my red and black bow tie. And I couldn't wear them, but I did wear them to my anniversary dinner the other night.
Nice. There you go.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. It was on Halloween.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
2 years.
Yep. A couple young lovebirds.
And we had the most amazing steaks that I've had in a long time.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of them. They look pretty damn good.
It's a restaurant called Firebirds Wood Fire Grill. Mm. If there's one, Donnie, there's should be one up near you.
I'll have to check.
There might be one in the Chicagoland area. I'm not sure, Mojo. But if you ever get a chance, it's a little pricey.
I'm fine with that.
But it's worth every bit of it, because that steak, that 12-ounce center cut sirloin with peppercorn sauce and encrusted with peppers.
He's like, you're making me hungry.
Now, one question.
But
how did you get your steak cooked?
Medium rare.
Okay, my man. If you ever tell me well done,
voodoo doll. Well,
I'll be honest with you. Now, when I was younger, I had to have it well done, but as I got older, it's like, you know, why am I eating leather?
Exactly.
And I liked a nice medium rare. It came with this amazing loaded baked potato.
Oh.
And they butcher in house. And it's a scratch kitchen. And do you like deviled eggs? Everybody loves deviled
eggs. I love deviled eggs.
They have these jalapeno deviled eggs. With a slice of jalapeno and a piece of candied bacon on each one.
That's you. That is so you.
You hear my daughter?
Yeah, I did. I take it you like that kind of stuff.
Oh, man. Let me tell you something. The moment you say candied bacon, You had me sold.
All right.
You got a piece of candied bacon on each egg, along with a slice of jalapeno.
Oh.
So you done messed him up now.
Now, so if this place gets shut down because of COVID, are they still having dine-in and an order?
Both, dine-in and order.
Okay, good. Good to know.
In fact, while we're talking, I'm going to see if there's one up your way. Because I can.
Right. Well, while he's looking at that, let's get into a little bit of filmography about you. It looks like you've been in a film or two.
Yeah, so this is how this happened. I was on the Man Cow show for Cinco de Mayo, like, that's probably about, what, about 4 years ago? Let's see, 2015. It might have been 4 or 5 years ago. I was on the Man Cow show, and I ended up getting cool with one of the guys there. And he was trying to film a movie later on. So in the beginning, he was helping me film my promos. And, you know, we were going to all these various sites. He had the lights and all of this good stuff. And he decided to write a script called The Preacher. And in that movie, it was me and another wrestler, Jesus Bryce. What happens is we find this mysterious box. And it contains a voodoo doll and some special powers in it. But the preacher, the wrestler Jesus Bryce, is he's like immortal. So he's in this old abandoned place, and we end up wrestling in the ring and all this stuff. But somehow I give him the box. He puts the doll inside of the box, and it turns me into Mojo, and I go on a killing spree. And I kill all of my friends that came to the venue with me.
Nice.
It was fun. I killed somebody with the choke slam. I killed somebody with the claw, and then I actually killed somebody with my finisher, the spellbinder, and I think I choked some one person to death out of the darkness. And they had the punching bag was swaying back and forth, and they had the lighting just right so you can see my silhouette with the horns. And the guy was, "Is that you? Is that you?" And then I ended up behind him and like, he was on the ground. I choked him to death.
Nice. Is that the only film that you've been in, or have you done like commercial work or anything?
I did extra work. So I was on one of my favorite TV shows, The Chi. I was on there, but unfortunately they dropped my scene. I was so sad. And then I was in Batwoman, because Batwoman is filmed here in Chicago.
Cool.
I have an opportunity for a new show that's coming up called, I think it's called Average Joe. So they're doing a pilot for that right now. So I just have to verify that I'm going to do it. And, you know, I'm trying to get my foot into that realm too, you know, doing the extra work and everything. Okay. Actually, I met one of the, she was either producer or director for Empire. And I met her at an airport, and randomly, she walked up on me and my daughter. We were just sitting there talking, laughing about whatever. And she asked us to wash her bag. And I was like, oh, no problem. And then she comes back and we end up talking. And I found out that she was the one that works for one of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, you know, you have a good look, a good build. You know, you should consider being an extra, because, you know, it'd be good, you know, if you're trying to do more with, you know, acting and movies and things of that nature. And it also would help me with wrestling, because it could give me added skills.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me this information. She said, once you sign up, you put your pictures up there, text me, call me, let me know that you did it. I did it that same day.
I have it to you in a couple hours.
Yeah, you know, and after that, you know, I've been rolling. It's been definitely been a lot of fun. Like, I would sit there and spend 15 hours on set and just have an incredible day versus sitting at home in front of the computer doing my regular shoot job.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, but being on set is amazing. Love it. And the food is really good too on set.
Right.
Well, I will say that I did check, and the closest Firebird to you is either West Des Moines, Iowa, or Carmel, Indiana.
Huh. I'll probably go to Des Moines, Iowa, because I have a cousin that lives there.
Okay.
So that's good to know. So next time I'm gonna text my cousins out there and say, hey, let's go to this place. And I'm like, how you know about this? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. I just want to go.
Yeah.
They got candied bacon.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever been. Have you ever been to Twin Peaks?
Not yet, but we've got one right around the corner from where I work, my shoot job.
You have to go because the candied bacon there is a spicy candied bacon.
Ooh.
Oh.
Nice.
The first time I experienced it, I bought one. It comes in cups. So I got a cup of bacon. I ate the cup, and the lady comes back. I said, may I please have 3 more cups of this bacon? 3 more cups come, I eat those cups. After about 15 cups in,
oh my goodness.
I have like 10 cups to go to put in it was bad. Yeah. Everybody else was having drinks, and I'm over here eating cups of bacon.
I went that route.
Oh man, now I got to go to Twin Peaks. I said, it's probably less than a mile from my shoot job. So
tell me what you think when you go, when you have the bacon. I mean, the food is good there, but all I really cared about was the bacon.
What about the scenery?
The scenery was nice. Nice scenery.
So I've heard. And they keep their beer at 29 degrees Fahrenheit.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't even think I drank beer when I was there. I think I drank a Coke.
You just use that just to wash everything down and keep the bacon coming.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I was going to tell you, Mojo, I went to a beer tasting a couple of years ago with a friend of mine. And what this brewery was doing was pairing certain types of beer with certain types of foods.
Uh-huh.
And candied bacon was involved.
Oh, killing me, Smalls.
And I forget which beer it paired with, but it was like, it made sense. You know, you ate the bacon, you drank a little of the beer. It's like, it was harmony.
How did you get so lucky to have to be able to experience that together?
You can blame my wife. She managed to get us into a sold out beer festival.
Nice.
Speaking of, they actually here in Chicago, they have a bacon festival.
No kidding.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I swear I miss it every year. Every year I try to go, it's always on a Saturday that I'm booked on the show. Mm-hmm. It is out of town. If somehow I ever get booked on a local show, right, I would definitely be able to go. But every time, never local. Yeah, but they have bacon fest, so that's something you should look up. So you guys end up coming to Chicago, we go to the bacon fest, and then of course I gotta show you, you know, the pizza, the Chicago style hot dogs. Don't you ever order ketchup on your hot dog here.
I never order ketchup on my hot dog, period.
Good. Thank you.
Is that like a cardinal sin, is it?
Oh, yeah. You might get kicked out.
It's got to be mustard, man. It's got to be mustard.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, the mustard is so good. No ketchup at all. And then they put that bright green relish on there, and you got some sport peppers and all of that, and the onions. Oh, I can smell it now.
You're getting me hungry.
Right.
Of course, I've been doing the same thing to you, so.
Yeah, yeah. We got to go tit for tat.
So, Donnie, are we going to dig into that nugget of information?
Yeah, I want to get back to that about his lucha style. Because like I said, we always try to pull out some kind of information, and we've never had a lucha-trained wrestler on the show yet. Well, I mean, we had Thunder Rosa, so you know she's trained in that, but
she's awesome.
Yeah, she is. Yep. Yeah.
We tagged together, and our ring entrance was so dope because she was my bride. She was actually my dead wife.
Nice.
So she came out holding my voodoo doll like a little baby, and she had the veil over her head, and then we had our matching gear on. Oh, it was awesome.
That would have been sweet.
She was our first pro wrestler guest, wasn't she?
Yep, sure was. So, but yeah, lucha style. Any good tips or information from somebody that would want to start training in that kind of style?
Ooh, Man, you know what? The best I could say is I got lucky because of the area that I'm in. There was a lot of lucha training schools, but you just got to find a good lucha trainer. The guy that I would look up is Skyday. Skyday is amazing. Like, he's going to give you a lot of it's not all about, like, those high spots and all that, but actually, like, people don't realize that Lucha Libre, they actually legitimately wrestle and do chain wrestling and have various locks and holds and submissions. So go to a guy like Skyday to learn. I know there's a few other schools, like, that you can probably learn from. I can't think of the name of them off the top of my head, but, I always follow guys on Facebook and Instagram. But if anybody ever were looking for a place to go to learn lucha, definitely hit me up in my inbox. You know, you can hit me up on Instagram at Mojo_McQueen, or you can just message me on Facebook and I'll point you in the right direction.
Cool. Now, you said you were trained like in American style first and then you got into lucha. Was there a big transition for you? Because I know some people, it's just like, second nature. Some people kind of struggle with it. What was your case?
You know what? I struggled a little bit with some of the things because a lot of stuff that we do, for example, the arm drags, like working, how we work on different sides of the body. But for us, the arm drag was like, you take the arm drag, you're bumping on the arm drag. And lucha is so pleasant because you're not bumping off arm drag. You're rolling through with the arm drag, which is so much better on the back, in the body. So,
right.
The whole aspect of, like, even a lockup. So the lockup is different, the way that you lock up. You know, you used to lock it up one way, but then in lucha is like the other way. And it's like, and at one point, because I was going to lucha practice so much, I'll never forget, I was wrestling Kevin Thorne, and I went to lock up and totally blinked, and I tried to lock up with him lucha style.
Oops.
I was like, oh, wait. Luckily, he swatted and did something, and it worked out. But I was like, oh, my God. He has me in the hold. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, dude, I'm so used to working lucha, right? I'm trying to lock up with you, lucha. He's like, nah, no problem. So I think that's the hardest part sometimes, is just
the adjustment.
Yeah, the adjustment to the lockup, especially when you're going back and forth. Because at one point, let's say in the weekend, if I wrestle Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, American style, Sunday, lucha style. So just adjusting to going back from, all right, I've just been wrestling all American style. Now I'm wrestling somebody from Mexico. And, oh, man, I got to adjust. So it's like, and I'm always in the mirror looking like, okay, wait, that's American, this is lucha, this is American, this is lucha. And I always have to keep saying it back and forth so I can don't mess up. I think anybody can learn lucha. If you have that background in American, I think you can definitely learn a lucha. And I think you'll like it too, just because you're not taking as many bumps. But trying to learn how to do some of the roles, there's like a couple of roles I still struggle with, but I get through the drills and stuff like that. But it's a lot of cardio.
Right. Yep.
A lot of cardio, a lot of stuff that you should at least try once. There are some things that if I ever show the video, people won't believe that that's me under the mask doing some of that stuff. there was a match that I had with two guys. I wrestled on Mysterious Movado had a show, Ooh La La Lucha, up in Detroit. And I wrestled with two of the guys that I trained with. And we did something, I come to the ring, you're instantly going to think, oh, I'm just going to, pound these guys and all that. But I bust out a couple of lucha sequences and the crowd was just going nuts. So I was running to the ropes, and the guys double hip tossed me. I hit the ropes. My feet hit the ropes, and I flipped out of that on my feet, did something, hit a step up Hurricane Rana, and the crowd is just like, what the hell? Like, that's a big guy to do that. And but what was cool about that, too, I still incorporated my gimmick, because after I hit the Rana, the guy goes out. I bit the other guy, and I get my voodoo doll. So now I'm controlling the one guy that's still in the ring with me, and I make him do a dive with the voodoo doll. So as I hit the ropes with the doll, he's hitting the ropes. I throw the doll out for the suicide, and he's suiciding right with the doll. And the guy on the outside catches him and the doll.
Nice.
And then I do the taker dive to finish it all off. So I thought that was pretty cool how I was able to mix the lucha, the American, and my gimmick all into one.
Yep. That is,
I wish I could find that footage. I've been begging for that footage for like years now.
Mm-hmm, that's a very cool spot.
Yeah, no doubt. This is where I press the cricket button, Donnie.
Yeah, well, we're getting ready to start winding down. I said we've had you on here long enough, taking up your time. But back to the back to the horror film stuff. I'm going to throw my question at you, and you are the main star and the main character of your own horror film. And what is your go-to kill?
Ooh, my go-to kill. Let's see. If I was in another horror movie, I would hope it would be Lucha Maniac 2. And my main kill, let's see, it would have to be something super gruesome. So, maybe I have to take a chainsaw to not wait. That gimmick is already done. I guess I can't do the chainsaw. Man, there's so many ways to kill people in horror movies. Maybe it has to be some sort of torture. I don't know, maybe tie them up into a chair. Pound him in the head with a steel chair like 50 million times.
Just pound him out.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that.
There you go.
Or I can, you know, maybe drop him off of a building. That's what we'll do. Choke slam off the top of a building. If I was in Lucha Maniac 2, choke slam off of a building onto a car. They hit the car. They roll off the car. Somehow I mysteriously end up inside of a semi, and I'll run them over with the semi.
There you go. Like teleport from the top of the building down.
A little voodoo will take care of that, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
And then I take the roadkill, so that everybody would be roadkill now, and I will turn that into a sausage, and I will eat that as a sausage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He took it back to the food part, didn't he?
Oh, man. Why did we not have him on before? This is great. I love this guy. I can't wait to meet you in person, man. You're fun.
Man, hey, you gotta have fun. I mean, look at what we do.
Right? Yeah, you got a good point there. Yeah, I can't argue that at all. So, how can people find out more about you? Where you're going to be? You know, everything that is Mojo McQueen. Give us the who, what, when, where, and why.
Okay, so first of all, you can follow me on /MojoMcQueen. If you don't follow me on Facebook, then you can also follow me on Twitter. And Twitter, I believe I am at Mojo McQueen, or it might be Mojo _McQueen. It's one of those. Matter of fact, let me check. Give me a second.
I got you right here. It's Mojo McQueen, one word.
Let's see. Oh, that's what it was?
Yeah. Instagram's Mojo_McQueen.
Oh, man. My man. Thank you.
So, no problem.
Follow me on Instagram. Instagram is fun. I always post some cool stuff on Instagram. I think more stuff get posted on my Instagram first before it hits my Facebook. Facebook, I'm always, well, it looks like I'm always on, but I'm not, because sometimes I'm sleeping. I sleep a lot. I actually sleep inside of a casket. I just wanted to test it out, so I sleep inside of a casket in my home. Don't judge me. I also bought a little casket for my daughter. She's 13, but she's like 7 feet tall. So I bought, you know, I got to get her a new casket because I think she outgrew it. What else can you follow me? You can also follow me on Snapchat. Snapchat on Mojo_McQueen. I put some cool stuff on there. I always have some little trinkets. You actually... What people don't know is that I'm a voodoo chef. I'm amazing in the kitchen. So you can see a lot of my wonderful foods that I cook, my baked chickens with a side of soul.
Nice. What kind of soul?
When you like to know.
I don't know. I think I'm giving mine up to keep my Darth Vader mask. So,
I mean, hey, you know what? I like you, so I won't take your soul in your Darth Vader mask. Okay. Now if you wrong me in the future, then you know, whatever happens, happens. You know.
Note to self: do not screw up his ring entrance.
Right. Please don't. Oh my God! Please don't. Cause I think I've had it one time, and I had to look at the guy like, "Are you serious?" How do you not know how to say mojo?
Right.
Call me something totally different. I almost didn't come out to the room. I'm like, who is the announcer? I think that's supposed to be you. I'm like, that's not my name. And Momo McQueen. Momo. Momo. Momo.
Nice. Is Momo.
Oh shoot. Or don't announce me as being from Chicago. I had somebody announce me from being from Chicago. I'm like clearly in gimmick, I'm not from Chicago.
Right.
Well, you're obviously from the swamps of Louisiana. I mean,
yeah. And I don't even do that now. I said, you know what? Instead of people telling them where I'm from, I say representing the 13 tribes of the Voodoo Nation.
Ooh, I like
number
that.
13.
I see that.
Very right. Cool.
Wow, this has been fun. You know, we're definitely, this is going to be a hot one. We got to get you back on again in the future because this has been an absolute ball.
Do you guys play video games?
Yes.
Yeah, I do not so much.
Oh, you're killing me. You know what? Mii Hook is now my favorite.
I got an Xbox One. I got a PlayStation 4. I got my computers. Yes, I play video games.
You can also add me on the video on Xbox One as Mojo McQueen. I play my video games.
All
right. Here's my video game history. I mean, I used to play Sega back in the old days and all that, but I bought my daughter a PS4 so she could play with her friends online. And only the main reason I bought it is because Friday the 13th game came out. And I was like, oh, I'm going to play the shit out of this. So Christmas Day, she opened it up. We set everything up. I played Friday the 13th twice, and I ain't touched it since. And that's been like 2 years.
you know, ironically, the same thing with me. I think I might have played. I might not even played it twice. I think I played it one time, 15 minutes, undownloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't get into it. I mean, I like the premise, but I was like, it's all right.
Yeah, well, I'm a big Jason mark, so I mean, I loved it as in when I was playing it. Just I don't know. I'm not into the video game. I don't know. Just not.
Yeah. I got sidetracked with other games. I like my NBA 2K. I used to play Raw versus SmackDown and all of that stuff. Or what is it? WWE 2K.
Yeah,
I won't play it because my daughter demolished me in it. So I'm not afraid to admit it.
Right.
The last time I played her, she kicked my. Yeah. So I'm gonna bow out of that one gracefully, but
on principle, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll play my Mortal Kombat. So I'll play my little shoot 'em up games and stuff like that. But I actually haven't even touched my Xbox in like a month,
because
I've been so busy with stuff trying to prepare for shows and had to make voodoo dolls and
right,
all of that. Yeah.
No, you ever get the opportunity to get the virtual reality for the PlayStation 4?
The virtual reality.
They got a VR helmet.
Oh, I'm not a PlayStation guy.
I was talking to him.
I don't even play the regular version. What am I going to get a VR helmet for?
Oh, let me tell you. I mean, you talk about totally immersive.
Mm-hmm.
You get the right headphones on with that helmet, and the world disappears. You are smack in the middle of the game.
Maybe I might try that for the PS5. Maybe I might jump ship just to get the PS5. Maybe. Maybe I gotta figure out how I'm gonna get one though. So maybe I might dress up in my full Mojo outfit and go to the store and see if I can get one from somebody.
All right.
Just tell them you're gonna cast and you're gonna curse them. That should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have the black bile coming all out of my mouth and all this stuff.
Oh wow. Okay, this has been awesome, Mojo. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us here at Wrestle Horror. You epitomize what we're trying to talk about here, which is the combination of wrestling and horror. And, you know, you're it to a T. Thank you so much for being a guest here with me and Donnie. This has been fun.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you guys again. Definitely got to catch up for some dinner at that steakhouse.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me know when you go. Let me know. I got to hear from you about it.
I might come out there and go.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I'm game. Hey, I'll go.
I'm actually in Ohio Saturday for war.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. There might be one closer by Donnie, but.
I'll have to look. I didn't even look. I don't know if there's one. I haven't heard of one being around this area, but that's not to say that there isn't one.
You probably scared it away or something.
And how do I get one of those sweet, do you have Russell Horror t-shirts?
We sell stuff on Amazon. If you go to Amazon, type in Russell Horror, then you can get them. That's where, well, my wife had these made. She's like my poster designer and my shirt designer. And she just made them and had them delivered. I didn't even know she made them. She's like, here you go. I got some for you and Jim. I was like, all right. That's
sweet. Oh, make sure you guys check out my pro wrestling tees. So that's also prowrestlingtees.com/MojoMcQueen. And today I just dropped a brand new shirt design. It is incredible.
So nice.
I just posted on my Instagram, and then it should be in my Pro Wrestling Tees store by Monday.
Very cool. Nice.
Donnie, there is a Firebirds in Columbus.
Oh, is there? Did you look? Oh, see, there you go. Next, when we get you booked on the new Ohio, we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I might just come out there and visit. My buddies, Warhaus, they live out there in Columbus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We love Chris and Pat. Not too long ago.
Yeah, they came with me to Iowa last week.
Okay.
Very cool. They did incredible. Amazing tag team.
They're starting to, that's why I've said before, they're probably my favorite tag team out there right now.
And yeah.
Yeah, we use them all the time. We love them.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they look like a tag team. They got the matching gear, and they just like they. Two big bruisers, man. Huge fan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except for if I'm getting beat up by them, then I don't.
Right. Like them. Yeah, you don't like them too much after that.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're gonna end this episode on a high note. I'm sure some of us are hungry. I know Mojo's probably hungry. He's gonna go gnaw on a bone someplace back there.
I got chicken cooking.
Hey, there you go.
And I'm
Popeye's chicken sandwich don't got nothing on the Mojo sandwich.
Meat Hook Jim's gonna go have a brisket sandwich, so with that being said, this is a Wrestle Horror Podcast. Thanks for watching and listening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.